Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and this is tape number 40 on the flow of life, the uncorruptible seed of life, tape number 40. And I was mentioning yesterday in the tape that we are one bread. It tells us that in the Bible, that Christ, on his on the day that he was betrayed, broke bread. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He was talking to his disciples that they must be incorruptible, uncorruptible. They must have the seed, the uncorruptible seed of God in Christ in them, in order for them to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so this is a continuation of that message, all right? So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank and praise your holy name for the uncorruptible seed. We thank you, Lord, that we know here in this world that we're not to, if we become corrupt, if we allow the seed in us to vanish from us because of corruption in our lives, we know even though you're not a merciful God unto sin after a person has been washed from their sins, unless they sin a sin of ignorance. And Lord, I've written down some scriptures in regard to how merciful you are and how unthankful people are for you even allowing us to know you and to know that you're really there, that you're in the kingdom of heaven and in us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, which endures forever. Lord, open the windows of heaven and pour out your spirit and bless the reading of this word, the reading of this message, and fill my mouth to expound with your words, Lord, that the people may better understand the things of the uncorruptible seed, the word of God. Lord, we pray that all these words and all the meanings will sink into their ears, down into their heart, into their spirits and soul, and that, Lord, that they will do what they hear it is that pleases you for us to do, for them to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
The uncorruptible seed, the first fruit, and the harvest.
A lot of people say that the first fruit of the 144,000, this is not true, that they'll be raptured out of the world before the tribulations. Then they say another batch is going up just before the end of the tribulations. But the Bible says that immediately after the tribulations, then the Lord comes. Amen?
Amen.
And he opens up all the graves and he takes us up. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to believe the uncorruptible seed, the word of the living God, if we want to be saved. All right, then what?
The Spirit through Peter tells us that we were born again with the incorruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Right, because the word of God is the uncorruptible seed of God, and it's the only way that we can ever hope to be uncorruptible on the day of judgment, is to keep feeding our soul, our spirit, our minds with the uncorruptible word of God. All right, then go ahead.
And then James tells us that we were born to be the first fruit of his creatures. Chapter 1, verse 18.
The first fruits of this world. When it says that they were redeemed out of this world, that means they were not raptured out of the world, that they were saved out of this world. Amen?
Amen.
That's what they're going about. They were redeemed out of the world. Very few people, Jesus said, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But all those that will enter the kingdom of heaven were redeemed, will have been redeemed from out of this world. And I was redeemed from out of this world, and everyone else that is saved has been redeemed out of this world. And we're going through part of the tribulation right now. And some of us will go all the way through the tribulations with the exception of those of us that die, but Christ is coming back immediately after the tribulation, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
James 1:18. of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Yeah, the first fruit. The first ones. We're the first ones that were begotten to the Lord by the word and by that experience that he had on the road to Damascus, where he was redeemed out of this world, amen?
Amen.
Into the heavenly kingdom. There are those of us in this world that are members of the kingdom of God, and then there are those that are the members of this world, and their world to come is hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
We are by him regenerated to be the first fruit of his new creation by imparting his divine life into our being through the implanted word of life.
Right, we are constantly being regenerated into his kingdom. One of the brothers told me today that he started laughing. He says, I was told, he says, I just got it, he thought it was from the Lord, that he says, well, we're made out of the dust and we're going back to the dust. And I was just laughing. He says, because so many people are going to hell because they're giving their life to that which is going back to dust. But the spirit is that which goes on. And I told him, no, the body, if you keep it regenerated until the Lord comes by reading and praying, your body will also wind up in the kingdom of heaven as well. Only it'll be an ecclesiastical body. The reason that our body goes to heaven or to hell is because of what we did in our body. We'll be judged for all the things that we've done in this, the body that we're living in right now. And he says we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we're all members. If we're members of the body of Christ here, why should we not be like him? The Bible says that we will be like him. His body was transformed or translated and went into the kingdom of heaven. And so if we're going to be exactly like him, our bodies, if we are in the body of Christ, if we're one bread with him, if we're like him, not imitations of him, but exactly like him, our bodies will be also changed from a earthly body to an ecclesiastical one, an eternal body. And it wouldn't make any difference if your body was scattered in ashes all over the world. The Lord is going to call every molecule of them back into one body, the same body that you're living in right now, and it's going to put it together, and then you're going to judgment. And those of us that are born again and have continued on to the end will go before the mercy seat of the Lord. And the body will be transformed on it. We have to transform our bodies. So I mentioned the other day in the messages that we're flesh and spirit and soul. And so we have to make an agreement with the Lord. We have to cooperate. All of our physical items have to be in agreement or cooperate with the Word of God, or coordinate ourselves towards the Word of God so that our body can be not only regenerated on a daily basis, but be transformed more and more. As Christ grows up into us, our body becomes transformed. It's a matter of our doing or conforming or cooperating and coordinating ourselves with the Spirit. And if we do, and if our bodies don't make it into the kingdom of heaven, it's for sure your soul, your spirit is not going to enter there. God's not going to take some bodies and some spirits and leave part bodies and some souls and this and that behind and have like a Cracker Jack's box or a mixed mat, one of these all sorts of different type of beings in the kingdom of heaven. You will be a totally regenerated and transformed person. Your body, if it was as old as looking as Methuselah, if you look like a mummy, you're going to look like a 17-year-old kid, 15, 16, 17-year-old kid, only with the wisdom of God on you. And you're never going to grow a day older. And you're never going to be sick. You're never going to feel any pain. And there's work to be done. And it's not by works that we get saved. Because the Lord has mercy, and he picks who he will. He chooses who he will. He calls, many are called, but the chosen ones, he just few of those are chosen. And he will have mercy upon those whom he will have mercy on. And so there is a general mercy that the Lord has on the world, people of the world, because he feeds and clothes and houses everybody, but they don't appreciate it. And they don't know that it's God letting them breathe and eat his food and drink his water and all the beverages. And so they're just, he's just showing them mercy. And a lot of times they'll be pitiful and they will be sick and suffering. And the Lord will have mercy on them and heal some of them. And still, they never serve him, because he's a merciful God. And it isn't because of any other thing other than he is a merciful God. He's pouring out his mercy upon the face of this earth. He's just a constant merciful God. And therefore there's no excuse. The very mercy of God has called many people to repentance. And they're not thankful because he's a merciful God. Before I was saved, I got to eat, I got to drink, I got to sleep, and I've enjoyed good health all my life. And I never thanked God for it until in his mercy he came down and revealed himself unto me. And people should really thank and praise the Lord for revealing himself unto them. And he reveals himself by the very nature of all the nature in the world that he created. The sun, the moon, the stars, and everything else that's on the planet, there's no one but God that could be so detailed in everything. And people are not thankful. And he just keeps pouring out his mercy. He keeps letting them live because he's long-suffering. He's a long-suffering God, isn't he? And he commands us to be long-suffering too, doesn't he?
Yes.
And to be thankful. Be ye thankful. What was the last line you read there?
We are by him regenerated to be the first fruit of his new creation by imparting his divine life into our being.
Right, so don't let anyone ever tell you or a spirit come and tell you that our bodies are not going to make it in. Otherwise, that would not cause anyone to live a holy life in the body, in the temple. God will not live in the temple, a body or a house or a motel or anything that there is sin in. Some people are actual hotels for legions of demons. And as merciful as God is, they're going to be very sorry when they stand before him and see all the mercy that God has poured out to them, even to the reprobate, and they didn't care enough to transform themselves that they might be able to, that they will be able to enter the kingdom of God. And it's sad, because if God loves them so much that he pours out so much mercy onto them, what kind of a Christian would you be if you laugh when somebody goes to hell because he's merciful right up to the end? I don't want to see anybody's soul go to hell, but they send themselves to hell because God is merciful unto them. And he shows them the way, the truth, and life. And he's so merciful. His mercy endures forever, one generation after the other. And yet they would not be thankful, they wouldn't serve him. Just to think that he would, in this wicked world, and in Hollywood of all places, reveal himself to me in such a powerful way that there was no way that I could deny it. And this is why I put down a Beatles album, which they say is worth $100 million. I still hear replies from Pete Best's office. He's the one that gave me the Beatles album because of a promotion that I did for him. And yet it means nothing to me. It's absolute garbage, because the Lord was merciful to me and has given me a chance to serve him, and has given me the power to serve him in the way, the manner that he requires, and has shown me how to live an overcoming life, a regenerated life, a transforming life on a daily basis. And he's shown that to everyone here as well. Amen? Because you've heard my testimony and many others like that, Paul, and people like Saul. He was nothing but a sheepherd, and David was the same. And God showed them himself, and Moses. Yet Saul failed God. He disobeyed him. And look at Adam. The Lord allowed him to name every animal and everything in the world, all the trees, everything. And he just wasn't thankful. And so he lost his life. But the Lord came back that he might regain it. Okay, read that again.
We are by him regenerated to be the first fruit of his new creation by imparting his divine life into our being through the implanted word of life. James 1:21.
Read it.
Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls.
Right. We can't be saved by corruptible seed. All the things in the world are corruptible, and if you're meditating on that, all you're doing is unregenerating yourself, and all you're doing is untransforming yourself. You're just like everybody else in the world, or even worse, because you know the truth. And what?
In Revelation 14 are the first fruit of the believers. When the angels harvest those of us who are the believers, we come out. All the precious stones which have made ourselves ready for God to dwell in.
Yeah, we come out of the world, but we're like all the different precious stones that God lives in. Amen?
Amen.
Stones, the pearls, and the gold. That's not what the habitation of the Lord is, or the building of God is made out of gold, precious stones, and pearls. Amen?
Amen.
And we are those pearls and precious stones and gold, because not of ourselves, but because we no longer live. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that lives in us. We can do nothing of ourselves. Okay, then what?
All the precious stones which have made ourselves ready for God to dwell in, God's building, the New Jerusalem.
Now that's his habitation where he's going to live. In us throughout eternity, because we're living in him. Amen? Then what else?
Eventually from God's farm, God's building is built.
You know, one of these days is going to be the final stone, precious stone. Eventually it's going to be built. Then what?
Again, we are God's farm and God's building.
You know, we work on the farm, we're the building, and we're working on the building. Amen?
Amen.
And we do it by the Lord working in and through us. Then what?
In the book of Genesis, the seed of life is first mentioned, and in Revelation, there is the harvest of the seed. Between Genesis and Revelation is the sowing of the seed, the growth of the seed, and the transformation in life from this growth.
In other words, we have to sow the seed. It isn't so much, we have to talk, we have to spread the gospel, but we also have to show people that we are rejecting the world, all temptations. That's sowing the real seed, is the works. I'll show you my faith in the Lord by rejecting the world, by my works of rejecting the tempter's temptations. Amen?
Amen.
That's what that means. So say it again.
Between Genesis and Revelation is the sowing of the seed, the growth of the seed, and the transformation in life from this growth.
Right. From this growth, we constantly, our bodies are being transformed into an ecclesiastical one. And if we die, our bodies die. But on the last day, the Lord raises from the dead because we've been transformed in the spirit. And so for that, the Lord rewards us by also allowing our bodies, with everything else of us, to go into the kingdom of heaven. That's not just a pretty good deal, that's an excellent deal, isn't it?
Yes.
And to look beautiful without makeup, amen, girls, right, sisters? And all the hairdos, your hair is just it's already preset, right? No more showers, huh? No more dentists or doctors. No more evil people around it. It's just like you can leave your doors open, right? What a place, heaven. Then what?
We should praise and thank the Lord that we have him as the seed of life.
Amen. Okay, now let's go over here to the front part.
Philippians 1:29 says, quote, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake."
Right, and it's our reasonable duty, if he went through trials and tribulations, for us, without murmuring, to go through them. Amen? And to be thankful. If you're going through suffering of some kind, just thank God you're saved. Your soul is saved. Amen? Or don't be trying to hire some doctor to help you commit suicide, because if you do that, then that's not trusting the Lord for healing, and it's not suffering for him. And if you disobey the Lord in any of these things, you will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll be in hell. Well, the Lord knows my suffering. Yes, and we should know his also. He never committed suicide. Amen?
Amen.
Nor did anybody else that is going to be in, that's in heaven now or is going to be there. Okay, then what?
Romans 11:5-6. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works.
Right. In other words, if it's God's power in you doing all the works, Paul said, you know, I did more works than all the other apostles put together. He says, yet not I, but Christ in me. Amen?
Amen.
Did the work. So it's by grace. There's no boasting, and there's nothing that you can say that's our work, because we're really not supposed to move or speak unless the Lord do some kind of thing that we think that we're doing for the Lord, to say at the end, Lord, have we not done great and marvelous works in thy name? He doesn't want us to say, have we not done that? He wants to do the work. That's what it's called, the Lord's work. Amen?
Amen.
It's him working, not you. You're not the Lord. You're just to let the Lord live in you. You're a sacrifice. Your life is ended. His life begins in you. And if you allow him to do that, then you, because of he's still living in you, his spirit is still incorporated or mingled with your spirit, you still have life. Do something that is not his will, and his spirit will lift right out of you. That's why I'm going to read the mercy scriptures last. But it isn't mercy. He doesn't call mercy the way people think mercy is. Because you could be possessed with the devil and lead blind people across the street, and that isn't going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Or you could give money to an orphanage or all this, and if you're not saved, you're still not going to heaven. And there's only one other place for you to be. The world is just full of people exalting themselves by doing things that the world calls mercy, but the Lord doesn't call it mercy. He calls it filthy rags. Because if you think that you can earn yourself a position in the kingdom of heaven by doing things other than what the Lord says is mercy, you're not going to be there. You're going to be in hell and then the lake of fire. You don't make up your rules. The Lord made the rules up already, and they're settled in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
Otherwise, grace is no more grace.
In other words, the power of God is no more the power of God if it's you doing it. Because that's what grace is some people say it's the undeserved favor of God. No, it's the mercy of God that shows you his power and invites you to be a partaker of it. Amen?
Amen.
It's mercy, God's mercy, to allow you to partake in his power, his overcoming power, and his life in you, to enter heaven. Amen? Okay, then what else?
But if it be of works, then it is no more grace.
No, if it's you doing it, then it's not the Lord. It's not his power, right? You have to learn how to rightly divide the word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Otherwise, work is no more work.
Yeah, the work of the Lord is no longer the work of the Lord. It's your work. Amen?
Amen.
And that you'll be like one of them, saying, did we not do great and mighty works? Yeah, you did. It was your works. And I never knew you. You didn't live in me, and I didn't live in you. And you're not going to con him out of that one. But Lord, we thought Who asked you to think? You've been called to obey. No one's supposed to be thinking. You're just supposed to die out on the altar. Let the Spirit, the Word of God, mortify your deeds, the things that you do, the things that you have done, and the things that you want to do. And let Him do His thing. Amen?
Amen.
He knows what to do. Then there'll be power in you. Amen?
Amen.
And then there'll be grace, God's grace, power, and life, not your weakness, feebleness, and evilness. Then what?
Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
By His power to make it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus and Him to be in you. Amen? For life, for eternal life. Then what?
Receiving benefits from God for our first benefits themselves.
Well, you're right, so that we can be one of the first fruits, amen? Because if we're all one bread, then we're the first fruits, aren't we? If we're part of Christ, well, then we're also part of the first fruits, amen? It's just one body. Is my little finger part of my body? How about your little finger? Is your little finger part of your body?
Yes.
Is your nose? Well, I got my nose scraped off in an accident, you may say. Well, it was there, let's just put it that way. If you were born without a nose, you're unfortunate. And you're suffering with Christ then. Amen? Don't let it bother you. But still, when it was there, or if you, most people have a nose, right? And eyes, and ears, or at least something that we have in common. You know, toes, fingers, navel, whatever, right? Hair. All right, then what?
This is true regarding or given commonly. I mean grace of which...
The power of God which...
Unconverted persons are recipients.
You know, right, because as I was saying before, unregenerated people are recipients of God's grace, amen? Or His power and His mercy, amen? Well, what do you mean by that? Everybody is blessed by the Lord because He gives you food and clothes and everybody, you know, I don't see anybody not eating. And if they do, we as Christians are supposed to feed them. Amen?
Amen.
That's why God has us here so that people can receive mercy. And we do it because of God, not because of any good thing that we would ever do. Before I was saved, I wouldn't give you the time of day. And I never liked talking to people, but now the Lord says, you talk to them, you know, and get this word out to them. Amen?
Amen.
So that they have a chance, that they hear my merciful words of direction into heaven. And if they're unthankful for it and be upset and start throwing equipment around stamping and screaming, and say, you know, you don't have any love, there's not enough love in your ministry. What more is love than showing you how to get into heaven? Amen?
Amen.
And how to have power of God in your life and His life living in you? What more do you want? And then if you're in some kind of spiritual or physical trouble, that we help you. Where else do you get this kind of aid? Certainly not from unregenerated folk. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
I mean grace of which unconverted persons are the recipients, the receivers. This is why Jude referred to them as, quote, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Jude 4.
Yeah, does anybody know what lascivious is? Filthy doings and thinkings. Okay, then what?
Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And
the power of God. I mean, there's people that write evil things about Jesus and Mary Magdalene and all the women that used to be around Him. They make Him a lascivious God. Christ was never married, and he never had sexual relationships with any female. Then what?
And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. They deny him. They won't cooperate with his word. They won't coordinate all their filthy mind, their filthy dreamers, filthy thinkers, their filthy members, their filthy conscience, which is seared, their filthy will, their filthy feelings, desires, all these things they will not put on the altar so that they can have life. Okay, then what?
This is also true for saving grace, which is frequently referred
to. Saving power of God, which is frequently, okay.
Which is frequently referred to as the gifts of grace or God's power in us. Romans 5:15-16.
And all this that you're hearing happens to be the food, water, and breath of life. Amen? So we need to be thankful for this. Amen?
Amen.
When people are very hungry and they get into a place and somebody's holding some ribs or steak or something like that, and they tell you, you can't have it unless you say please or thank you, I think you'd be saying thank you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the Lord doesn't, he just figures that if you he knows that if you have a good heart, you're just going to say, oh, how I love the Word of God. I love the law of God. It is more prestigious, and I want it more than the natural food for my natural body. Amen?
Amen?
I need it to make it into heaven. There isn't anything that I need to thank anybody for more than God for his word, for his food, his drink, his breath, the seed. Then what else?
Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ.
Gift by power of God. Then what?
Which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many.
Because to us, you know, and God himself, there's no other power in the world that can save our soul but Jesus, the Word. There's no other name given among men but the Word of God, Jesus. That has the grace, the power of God in us to save our souls. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to him. There isn't any other power that has any effect on us so far as being the recipients of eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
The ones that don't even thank for food, water, breath, and mercy, they can't enter heaven. They don't want anything to do with God and his mercy. So they don't thank him for it either. That's why it's so horrible to have an unthankful heart. Amen?
Amen.
And what?
Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification.
Right. No matter how many sins you have on your soul, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, you shall be saved. And he knows that you believe when you do what he says. If you're rebellious and you are not keeping the Word of the Lord, then what it is you're rebellious, you're a witch, because you're disobedient, amen? And the Spirit of the Lord will lift right off of you and out of you, and you're on your own, kid. All right, then what?
Romans 6:23.
Now God is merciful, though, if you repent, if you turn back to him. Amen?
Amen.
It says so in the Bible. The Lord always tells me, now don't forget my mercy, all right? That's all he cares about is that you repent. But he says, not going to let you repent and repent and repent, all right? You get back to him once and for all and stay there. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
No, he doesn't repent because he has mercy. Why should he? I'm glad he doesn't repent of his mercy. Amen? His mercy endureth forever from generation to generation. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God. Amen? That's a lot to praise the Lord for. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, then what?
Quote, through the grace given unto me, Romans 12:3.
Through the power of God that was given unto me. Then what?
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Yeah, be sober and thank the Lord for that. Because if you don't have faith, then you're nothing. You don't have eternal life. If you have faith, then prove it by doing what the Lord says. Amen? All right, then what?
Quote, that you might have a second benefit, 2 Corinthians 1:15.
Well, you get all kinds of benefits, amen? What else?
And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit.
Right. An infilling of the Lord, amen? More power, more grace. A growing up of the seed in you. The seed is the tree of life, so it grows and grows. You don't want that seed to just wither and die. Then you lose your life. The Lord's Spirit, His power, His life. Then what?
1 Peter 2:19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully.
Yeah, so we have to... You know, if somebody does something to us wrongfully, they're wrong. Well, we got to... That's grief, amen? Grief! And so if we endure it, read it again.
For this is thankworthy, if a man...
The Lord will thank you for it. What?
If a man for conscience toward God...
If you got a conscience, in other words, your carnal conscience is already in coordination with the Spirit, the Word, and is cooperating with the Word. Amen? Mm-hmm. Your conscience is saying, along with the will, thy will be done. Amen? Not mine. So I'm going to put the hatchet down. Or I'm going to take, the harpoon down. I'm not going to harpoon anybody. And I'm not going to do anything to anybody. If somebody takes something from me, the Lord gave, the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have an eternity with the Lord, eternal life. Why should I complain? Amen?
Amen.
I won't complain. Okay, then what?
If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully.
Right, I was put in prison wrongfully, but I endured it. I went through there, and all kinds of people marveled because I was bringing messages over the telephone where all this, you could hear cursing and swearing and roughhouse and all kinds of things like that. And I was standing on the phone talking about Jesus, amen?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, enjoy those tapes to this very day. Okay, then what? Now we get into God's mercy.
The mercy of God. Our or man's idea of mercy is related to grief, sorrow, and pity.
Yeah. But the Lord doesn't say, He says to endure grief, sorrow, and forget about pity. Amen?
Amen.
Just the opposite. I should have looked that up in the Webster's. Mercy, okay? Moisy. That's what we're talking about. That's what man's idea of pity is, of mercy is grief. Well, how do you call grief mercy? Because if you come to somebody's aid that's in grief, that is, or pitying themselves, and you pity them, and, why put your hand and say, they're there, and pat their back? Is that mercy? No, not according to God, all right? All right, keep going.
But this is not the case with respect to God. Mercy is the merciful God Himself.
That's what mercy is, amen? Hallelujah, amen? That's what real mercy is. And the things you do for people, if they're in misery, and because they don't have food, you feed them. If they're in misery, they don't have water to drink, you give them water. If they don't have a bed to sleep on, you put them up. Amen? You don't ask them what religion they are or anything like that. You just do it, okay? Because our Heavenly Father is watching. Then what? Did you find it?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, mercy. What does the world say mercy is?
Forbearance from inflicting harm, especially in the way of punishment, under provocation.
Well, but see, the Lord tells you to punish children. See, this is man's idea of mercy. Don't just let them run wild. Don't chase them. Amen? See, that's what I'm saying. This man's idea of mercy is way different than the Lord's. Then what?
When one has the power to inflict it, compassionate treatment of an offender or adversary.
Well, it's nice to have compassion, but that isn't true mercy, all right? The Lord is mercy. Because he's the one that prevents you from going to hell if you do what he says. That's mercy. God is mercy. Then what?
Clemency.
Clemency, that's, you know, it's merciful, but it won't get you. You let some give a criminal, a real criminal, clemency, and they go out and maybe kill somebody again. Is that mercy? Not the mercy of God. No, it's not. And it goes on and on, right?
Yes.
Keep going a little bit more.
Disposition to exercise compassion or forgiveness, mercifulness.
Pity. Yeah, they're forgiving people for committing murder. I forgive you. And for having sex with babies and things like that. Are you kidding? I mean, this is mercy. What about the baby that they're having sexual relationships? Or men with boys, young boys. The world's, including Webster's, idea of mercy is not the same as God's. Okay, and it goes on and on for quite a while, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's all about the same thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Mercy is the merciful God himself. It, mercy, is his true attribute, where God is inclined to come to the rescue or aid of a person in his misery.
If you cry out to God in your misery like Jonah did, God came to his aid, amen? Maybe not the way Jonah wanted to, but it was better than being in the belly of the whale. The whale vomited him out, and he was, you know, in this vomit. And but it was better than being in there, amen? The Lord was merciful to him. Then what?
Even if a miserable person is the object of the manifestation of divine mercy, but misery is not the reason which causes God's mercy.
No, it isn't. That isn't it. It's just that God is just a whole lot of mercy. He's just all the time to everybody. Amen? And then you say, well, why did some people get their arms blown off in the war? And why did they get their legs blown off? They weren't supposed to be over there fighting the war anyway. Okay, the Lord says those that live by the sword are going to die by it. They're going to suffer by the sword. Amen?
Amen.
And then on top of that, if they were allowed to go on, they might wind up being an adulteress or an adulterer or an adulteress. Some people would, if they were not born disfigured in one way or another, they'd wind up with all kinds of females or all kinds of males. And they'd be going to hell. This way they're laying in a bed of affliction, and they begin crying out to God, okay? And then they get saved. And some people are on death. There's an innocent man on death row, many of them. And they're there, and they're crying out to God, and they got saved. Amen?
Amen.
So that's mercy, isn't it?
Yes.
The Lord's the affliction. He afflicts people as tests to see if you love him. Amen? And this lifetime is so short anyway. But why should we live if we haven't got eyes and arms and legs? Because if you live for the Lord, you're going to live forever in the kingdom of heaven, and you'll be 100% whole. That's why. And if you commit suicide, you think you've got it rough now. Wait till you're in hell. You'll be wishing you were back in your little bed of affliction here. Amen? Amen. Okay, then what?
It is just that mercy pours forth from the goodness of God.
Read the line before again.
Even if a miserable person is the object of the manifestation of divine mercy, but misery is not the reason which causes God's mercy. It is just that mercy pours forth from the goodness of God, which when it is shown unto a miserable person, it adds up to be mercy.
Yeah, it's mathematically, that's mercy, amen, in the eyes of God. Divisible. Amen? Okay, then what?
When God revealed himself to Moses, he called himself merciful, Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.
Thank God he's long-suffering, amen? Gives you a chance to hear all this so that you can really hear the true personality of him. And that he's long-suffering, he didn't just swatch you like you do an ant when you see it. You know, it's bothering you and you just squash it. Well, we're bothering the Lord too, but he gives us time to repent. Okay, then what?
The Lord Jesus refers to his mercy as an example worthy of being the exact reproduction.
In other words, if we're like him, then we are to be merciful as well. We are exact reproductions of the seed. Amen?
Amen.
As I said in a couple of other messages, where the seed of wheat brings up many seeds. Exact reproductions of that seed, okay? So if the Lord, we have to be merciful to one another and others, amen, to everybody in the world. We see the Lord is merciful to everybody in the world, so we have to be as well, amen?
Amen.
Parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan didn't ask, hey, what nationality are you before I'm going to help you, and what church do you go to? Amen?
Amen.
He saw the man suffering. It's a creation of God. It's a creature of God. A human, and God died for him, and so he helped him. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Luke 6:36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
That's it right there, in a nutshell. Amen? He's telling us to be merciful, as our Father in the kingdom of heaven is merciful. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't sow mercy, you're not going to reap it. Think about it, you know. You're not hurting anyone but yourself. Because if you're not merciful to somebody, God will be. He'll send somebody else that will be merciful to him. And you'll lose the blessing. Then what?
Divine mercy is either general or special in nature.
Yes. General mercy is that, I said, it feeds, clothes, houses people, and lets you breathe air. But there's special mercy too. And what else?
The general is all the works of God, unconverted persons included.
Yeah, unregenerated people take part in that blessing of the Lord, amen? The mercy of God. My mother, when my dad left my mother off and on, we didn't have anything, but in God's mercy, he gave my mother a son, myself, that liked to work and wanted to go out and provide so she didn't starve to death. It's amazing, amen?
Amen?
It's absolutely amazing. One of the sons wouldn't have, given you the time of day, but me, I went out and worked. And I enjoyed it, you know. I really did. And if it was back there again, I'd done it the same way. That's just the way God is. He was merciful to my mother and my brothers. Because he's the one that gave me my heart, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Quote, his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalm 145:9.
And all his works is the world and everybody in it. Amen? And the heavens too. And what else?
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
And that's why if you go to hell, you went there on your own. You chose to go to hell because you rejected his mercy. And the requirements in order to reap the final mercy at the judgment bar or the mercy seat of Christ. You did it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Our Lord Jesus showed compassion and mercy on all sorts of miserable persons. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick.
Right, and then there's another scripture in the other Gospels where he's merciful to all sorts. He healed everybody in town, amen? And he fed everybody, the loaves and fishes, free of charge. The blind man, he gave him back his sight. Raised Lazarus from the dead. He's merciful to everybody. And why?
The special manifestation of mercy is for the elect who are called containers or vessels of mercy, Romans 9:23.
And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory.
Right. So the Lord calls, and he chooses. Many are called, but few are chosen. So there's a special mercy on those people, the chosen vessels. Because the people in general wouldn't do what the special ones do anyway. And therefore they're not worthy of special mercies. We have to show our worthiness. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The manifestation of this mercy is purely volitional of God's own will and nature.
Yeah, he does it on his own volition. I will be merciful to those whom I will be merciful unto. Right? I said, hey, I'm the boss. Hear this, and you never know who it's going to be. Like, I thought I was the worst, and I read the Bible, and I never killed, that I knowingly ever killed anybody or any Christians, especially. Paul did. That's why he said he's the chief of sinners. And here the Lord picked him out of all the people. And so people say, wow, they're horrible sinners. Listen, that little hussy in the movie says she's such a whore. And all. Those are the ones the Lord came to save. Amen?
Amen.
Or the guy on the death row that really did something. Or all the prostitutes. Pimps. If you just run them down, I mean, that's not mercy. The Lord was merciful unto all them. Mary Magdalene, amen?
Amen.
You cast all those devils out of her. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, then what?
Quote, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, Romans 9:15.
That's his own volition, amen? I'll do what I took people, you know, I know their hearts. I knew Paul was going to write two-thirds of the New Testament. When I called him on the road to Damascus, I knew he was going to do a 180-degree turn. All I got to do is just put the fear of God in him, amen? Then what?
Romans 9:15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Isn't that something? Then what else?
It is also...
What are you doing, God? I mean, you're going to judge him? If you are a potter and you make a bunch of dishes and some of them don't turn out just the way you wanted them to, have you not the power to throw them in the trash? Amen?
Amen.
This one's got a flaw in it, man. I didn't put my fingernail in there enough, you know, and it just came out where it was kind of wavery, and I can't sell this at market. Throw it in the trash. Okay? The potter has the option, the volition, to do whatever he pleases. Amen? Then what?
Quote, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. It is also great.
Yeah, very great. And then what?
This is not only because...
His mercy is also incredibly great. Amen? If he's just merciful, even the birds. Amen?
Yeah.
And the lilies. Come on now. Let's not have any accusations against the Lord. People's hearts are hardened because they reject the Lord. They refuse to do what he tells them. They're disobedient, witches. And therefore their hearts are hardened. It's just an automatic thing in the creation that he made, that if you don't do what he says, your hearts get harder and harder. It's like there's a big rope hanging in the middle of a canyon. And somehow that rope, you're standing on the other side and you got to come over here. Somebody swings the rope to you and it's very easy to get the first time it comes to you. But if it swings back out and it comes back again to you, you're going to have to maybe jump out a little bit to get it. And then it gives the third chance, and it's, you can't even, you'd have to take a running jump at the rope to catch it. And then if it comes back the fourth time to you, there's no way that you can get it. But then a stupid idea gets in your head, and you run and jump, and you wind up at the bottom of the canyon. That's the way salvation is. Every time you know what the Lord says, what the Lord commands, and you don't do it, there's not much chance for you to be saved. No chance at all. It's your heart. It keeps getting the hole there for Christ to enter, just gets smaller and smaller. It's like a pencil, size of a pencil, then it goes through a pencil lead, and then it closes up entirely. And there's no chance for the Lord to enter into you because you're just too disobedient. Okay, then go ahead.
This is not only because it extends from generation to generation, but also because of its intensity and magnitude.
His mercy extends from one generation to the other. Did you read it back?
This is not only because it...
Go ahead.
Because it extends from...
It, in other words, his mercy extends, okay?
Yes.
Right. Then what?
From generation to generation, but also because of its intensity and magnitude, Luke 1:50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation.
Fear him and just say no to the tempter's temptations. Amen? It's the whole duty of men. And women too, I might add. Mankind. What else?
This is why it is referred to as great mercy. Quote, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
That just speaks for itself. Amen.
It is also stated that God is rich in mercy. Quote, but God who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4.
Mercy. All the mercy the Lord has shown to people for a lifetime. And still, they ignore him and wind up in hell. Go ahead.
Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God is also said to be a God of multiple mercies. Quote, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3.
Rely on his mercy. You know, if you've done things, and you're coming to your senses, and the fear of the Lord is upon you, then rely on his mercy. You get in there and just repair that which he tells you to strengthen that which remains. Amen?
Amen?
Even if there's a shred there, start working on it. Amen? Strengthen it. Then what?
2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
And he wants to comfort you. He's letting you breathe. Amen? This shows he's long-suffering. Amen? But if you continue on, he's liable to snap you out any time. So we really don't have any choice of strength of that which remains. Amen? So what else?
God's mercy is said to be tender. Luke 1:78.
Isn't that comforting? To me it is. Amen?
Amen. Luke 1:78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us.
That's it, right? All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and this was tape number 40 on the issue of life, or the outpouring of life, or the life, the spirit of life, the flow of life, the bread of life, the tree of life, the river of life, and so on. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. See you on tape 41.